Paul. How are things?
So I hope your Christmas. Are you already back? Are you almost back from your National Lampoon's vacation?
You know, it didn't resemble it too much this year. There have been years, though, that would have put the National Lampoon version to shame. So this year was okay.
Well, let's take a look at the world of the NBA and basketball in general. The Raptors, obviously, with some injuries, have kind of hurt them a little bit. But have you seen the supporting cast kind of step up? And if so, with whom in charge of that push?
Well, I think the term resilience embodies what the Raptors are all about this year, Jason. And I think they've clearly established that culture within their team, because it seems like whenever major injuries occur, and this year has been the spotlight's been shining on that, now it's Patrick McCaw stepping up with some big games and hitting some big shots, where before it was Hollis Jefferson. And while Hollis Jefferson remains okay, he's faded a bit. But the guys that really continue to stand out, along with McGaw's emergence, are Chris Boucher, of all people. Who would have thought at the beginning of the season that you would be talking about Boucher? And then Terrence Davis. Davis is, you know, playing minutes now at the end of games, which you usually save for your most veteran players with the most experience. But now he's in there as the games are winding down. So they've stepped up. They've been effective. Kyle Lowry is back at an all-star performance level. I think he's surprised all of us at how well he's playing, and he's pretty much put the team on his back. And they've lost three of their last six, but they've won three of their last six at a time when they lost three starters, when they could have faded mightily. They've beaten some good teams, including the recent win at the Celtics a couple of days ago, and then the heartbreaking loss to Oklahoma City last night by one.
Yeah, and let's talk about the Canadian, Gilgeous Alexander, and his career high of 32 points as they pull it out. You know, he seems to be exploding onto the NBA scene here.
Boy, is he ever. And I know, Jason Gregor, you've always loved this young guy. And for good reason, last night was a clinic. Not only of a great young player who happens to be Canadian coming home, scoring a career high, but the way he did it, inside, outside, and a mid-range game that I haven't seen at that level before, but I think he certainly made the case why the mid-range game should be utilized more frequently, because a long guard like him getting in the paint over players like Van Vliet and Lowry, who are several inches shorter, he just dominated them. And included in his career high was the game-winning basket. He was fantastic.
Oh, well, Chris Paul afterwards was just raving about him. You know, you look at his last five games, he has really emerged. And you know, he uses his size to his advantage, Paul, significantly, especially when he goes up against the smaller players. And, you know, you look at Canada and just moving forward on the men's side. Like, I know there's been some concerns with some of the bigs being injured, but, and like, Canada's going to be able to compete, maybe. I know that just experience might be the issue, and you've talked a lot about, you know, just playing the FIFA rules might be a challenge. But, man, when you just talk pure athleticism, more and more the young Canadians are really exciting me this year.
Oh, and well, they should. Gilgeous Alexander, in the international game, that will be interesting, because here's where his game may not translate as well as it does to the NBA. Because of the way because FIBA teams can pack the middle with big, strong players, and because the game is more physical than the NBA, that's going to force Gilgeous Alexander to do things differently than he does in the NBA. Not to take away from him, and the one area of his game which is good, but on the international level may not translate as well, is his ability to shoot the ball. He needs a lot of time to get his shot off. Having said that, though. To your point, Jason, Jamal Murray and Jason or Gilgeous Alexander in the backcourt, very, very good backcourt players. And Gilgeous Alexander raving about him as Chris Paul did, everybody's raving about him in the NBA. This kid can play, and not only is he putting up big numbers, but it's not like Wiggins, and I'm not picking on Wiggins because he's having a good season, but it's not like Wiggins in Minnesota where he's putting up numbers but the team's losing. he's putting up great numbers and helping his team win. All of a sudden, the Thunder are two games over 500 in a season where I think pretty much everyone had written them off as a sub-500 team and someone that wouldn't even be in the playoff conversation, and now they're in the thick of it.
Breaking down the world of the NBA with the mighty Paul Sir from Basketball Alberta.
Paul, that's what people talk about. That's how they describe me all the time, Jason.
Well, I'm trying to get a trending here. Trying to get a trending for you here. Paul, you know, this player was drafted in 2003. It's his birthday. Today he's 35. LeBron James, when you look back on that time, whatever it was, 16 years ago when he was drafted and came into NBA, you know, this is kind of a weird question, but has he exceeded what was expected of him at that time?
Boy, you know, you almost have to say yes, Jason, because he's unbelievable. He's won championships. He took teams for 8 consecutive years to the NBA Finals. The expectations were so high for him coming out of high school, as he did. But I would have to say that's a true statement, because anybody that could ever accomplish what LeBron James has already accomplished and is still playing at such a high level, you have to say the guy has exceeded expectations. Because when you think of the 2000s in the NBA, you think of LeBron James first. No matter what you say about Steph Curry or Golden State or anybody else in the 2000s, the name that has to jump to the front of the line has to be LeBron James. So I think it's a great question, because the expectations have always been heaped on him at such a high level, and yet the man continues. I was just watching a replay of the block on Iguodala in the 2016 NBA Finals, and that might be the greatest play of all time in the NBA, much less one of the great blocks of all time. So, he's been unbelievable.
Paul Sir joins us from the basketball show here on TSN 1260, also executive director of Basketball Alberta. Paul, all the story after a great start, suddenly they're 1-9, the Minnesota Timberwolves looking like the Minnesota Timberwolves of last year, and now all the reports Carl Anthony Towns might want out. What's wrong with the Timberwolves?
I think one word describes what's wrong with the Timberwolves: everything. Everything that can be wrong about a franchise, they're in a dead heat with the Knicks. And it's so unfortunate, because that, on one hand, the franchise has been cursed. In years when they had the worst records and they had the most balls in the lottery draw, they always came up behind. And then instead of ending up with Shaq, they end up with Luke Longley or something like that. You know, they've never had the luck of the draw, but more than anything, they've just done such dumb things over the years. And there was a lot of hope at the beginning of the year, as you referenced, Jason. The big question mark was, can Ryan Sanders, the son of Flip Sanders, a Minnesota legend, can he step in, assume the helm, and turn this team into a playoff team? And the answer right now looks like no. They've had injury issues, of course, but you know, as you described it, they started out in a promising way, but then they remembered that they were the Timberwolves and they started to flounder. I'm not surprised to hear Carl Anthony Towns is getting disgruntled, because here's a guy who could be, for all intents and purposes, a Hall of Fame player languishing on a franchise that just can't get it right. And so maybe he's starting to think, like Kevin Love thought before him and many other Timberwolves before them, that it's time to get out of Minnesota. I hope not, but right now it doesn't look promising in the Twin Cities.
When you look at the league, you know, there's some teams that are kind of, you know, up and down, and it's just that time of year. Is there a team you think that's trending in the right direction as we head into 2020?
Well, the Thunder last night. I mean,
sure.
I mean, they came in and they looked awfully good. You know, the other one is Utah. Utah had a clumsy start. People put a lot of expectations on them. They thought this might be the year that they're a finals contender. They didn't look like it for a while, but all of a sudden now they're winning a lot of games, and they're winning them the right way. They're winning them on the defensive and the offensive end of the court. So Utah looks very, very good going in. along with the Thunder. You know, the team that has been, I think, the shock of the season so far, the Miami Heat. Who would have expected after 32 games to see them at 24-8 and a good team? It's not like you look at them and go, yeah, but it's been a soft schedule. They've beaten good teams in that 24-8 record. So I think they've been the biggest surprise of the year so far. But every time I think there's a trend developing, Jason, it just something starts to happen. And you remember, this really is a marathon. And there are so many games left to play, so many ebbs and flows about that are going to be coming our way. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, when we talk again in a month, who's emerged, who's emerging, who's had injuries, what's affected whom. You know, like, I'm curious to see when the Raptors get back to full strength, how good they're going to be. I think they're going to be very good again. So right now we just, I think, have to enjoy the Raptors' efforts, for instance. But a month from now we could be saying, look at those Raptors. They've come on again once they got back and got healthy.
Paul, great stuff. Before I let you go, kind of history tonight for men's basketball in the fair city of Edmonton, as two Edmontonians are going to face off head-to-head in a Division I NCAA basketball game for the first time.
It absolutely is such a great – it is a historic night. Here at Guac, Harry Ainley alumnus playing in a starting role, a pivotal role, a real glue guy for Loyola of Chicago, who made that great run a couple of years ago in the NCAAs against another storied program in the Missouri Valley Conference, the Valparaiso Crusaders, with Ben Cricke, the great Jasper Place player. And for the first time ever, two Edmontonians are going to play in a Division I game against each other. It really is a historic night. And by the way, I had a tip today about Ben Cricke. I was talking to an ESPN guy, and he said, everybody's telling him, watch this Cricke kid. He's going to be really good. He's had a great start to his freshman season. He's already contributing, had a number of double-figure games. But here is a glue guy. He's doing great. Ben, as a freshman, has a lot of people chattering. So not only is it historic that two Edmonton players are in the game, but two Edmonton players that are doing really well are in the game. And that, I think, is even more exciting for basketball in our city.
Paul, we appreciate it. We'll chat with you in studio next week. Thanks for your time.
Look forward to it, guys. Take care. Happy New Year.